So what we want to discuss today in the Mishnah of Eli Naris is number one, the case of Haba Mamzeres, and number two, the case of Haba Alanesina, which are the first two cases listed under the Psuos. So let's start with Haba Al Hamamzeres. There's a paragraph here in the Chasam Sofer, which you'll see on the bottom of your page, page one, and it says Haba Al Hamamzeres. Okay, now in the previous paragraph, Sheishlem Knas, and Knas, we discussed the issue of the language of the Mishnah. You know, it starts with Yesh Lahem Knas, meaning the Knas is for them, and then it doesn't say V'uba Aleha or Nivala, but rather it says Haba Alam Himself, which seems to indicate that the Knas is imposed upon him. And we had a discussion about a case in which, let's say, she doesn't deserve the Knas, maybe she's not Jewish. Should there be a Knas in any event? And we spoke about a case of Mocheles. Should be a Knas even if she waives her rights to the Knas in the case of Onus Umafata. This, in the paragraph Knas, the Chasam Sof wants to know, in the name of the Shita Mekubetzes, why the Mishnah doesn't mention a word about Boshes Upagam. Right, there are other payments and penalties that he has to pay. In the case of Ma'anes and Vetirates Mishum Diyuka Dinaros Velo Bogros Vilu Boshes Upagam Yeshnam Ilu Bogeres, that the Gemara is going to try to isolate or limit this Mishnah to a case of Nara. And in the case of Bogeres, there is no payment. Now, if the subject of our Mishnah would have been not just the Knas of Chamishim Kesef, but also Boshes Upagam, those payments, then for sure those would be payments that he would incur even in the case of Bogeres. And therefore, the Mishnah should have been discussing not only Nara, but also Bogeres as well. But we want to focus our attention today on the Rambam at the very beginning of Hilchos Ishus. And this is the famous Rambam about Haba al Apnuya and the Isur Lav of Kedesha. So let's go through the first few halachos in the Rambam in Perek Aleph Hilchos Ishus. The Rambam says, Kodem Matan Torah. You want to get a Rambam? Okay. Correct. You can get a Rambam. I have the large edition. There should be a small edition there as well. Kodem Matan Torah.
One second. Perek Aleph Hilchos.
Yeah, from the beginning. We'll mosey our way up to Halacha Dalet, which is really the famous Rambam about Kedesha. But let's get the background here. This is very important. The Rambam says that the whole institution of Kinyan, of what we call a Kinyan Ishus, was a Chiddush of the Torah. And before Matan Torah, Haya Adam Pogea Isha Bashuk, and if they were both in compliance and both in agreement, in Ratzah Huvehi Lisa Oso Machnisa Lebesu Bola Beno Vena Atzma Atzmo V'tiya Lo L'Isha. So the Rambam says that there was an institution of Ishus before Matan Torah, but there was no need for a Kinyan. So the Ishus was simply a reflection of the reality of the Metzius, of the fact that they were living together, Bala, and Ratza Hu V'hi, they both agreed. However, Kevan Shenitna Torah, Mitztavu Yisrael, She'im Yirtza Ha'ish, Lisa Isha, then first, Yikne Osa Tchila B'fnei Eidim. So the Torah introduced a framework or an entity called Kinyan, and that Kinyan has to take place in the presence of two Eidim. And then only after that Kinyan, V'acharkach Tia Lo L'Isha, then as a result of the Kinyan, she becomes his wife. Shenemar ki yikach ish isha uba aleha. that before the Be'ila, there's got to be Ki'ikach. And the words Ki'ikach refer to a kinyan. The Rambam also points out that the kinyan has to take place in front of two Eidim. Now this kinyan called Ki'ikach, Likuchen Eilu Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torahim, it's also a mitzvah saseh that the Torah prescribes. There are three different methods by which he can accomplish this lekuchen, this mitzvah say, and the kinyan ishus. Number one is bekesef, number two is beshtar, number three is bebia. Now, the next piece in the Rambam we're going to skip. That's a major undertaking on its own. You know, the very strange Rambam with these long discussions in the Kesef Mishnah, what the Rambam means by Vidivri Sofrim. In any event, Isha Shenikneis Bi Echad Mishlo Shedvarim Elu Hi Hanikreis Mekudeshes O Meureses. Let's go on to Halacha Gimel. Kevin Shenikneis Ha Isha Venaseis Mekudeshes Afal Pisha Lo Nivala Vlo Nichnesa Lebeis Baila Harehi Eishes Ish. In other words, at this point, she's an Arusa. She's Mekudeshes. There is a Kinyan Ishus. And it could be in Kesef and Shtar, for example. There was no Be'ila. And if there's no Be'ila, Lo Nichnasol Abeis Baila, there's no Hachnasol Abeiso. It's not Nisuin, but it is Erisin. The Ram wants to know, what's the status of an Isha who has Erisin? Harehi Eishes Ish. The Ram has to say chutz mibayla because the Baal himself is enjoined from having a relationship with her until he takes her into his house for nesuin. But nevertheless, that's only an isu derabanan, or perhaps an isu derais, but it's certainly not. It's not an isur eishes ish with a chiyuv misus bezdin. In rotzel legaresh tzricha get. In other words, now that she's an Eishes Ish after the Erisin, she needs a get. Otherwise, she remains an Eishes Ish. Now the Rambam is going to introduce the mitzvahs losas of Kedesha. Because until this point, the Rambam has introduced two principles, two halachic concepts. Number one is Ishus, meaning a Kenyan Ishus that the Torah was Machadesh. And number two, the mitzvah saseh of lekuche isha. But now the Rambam goes over to the mitzvah lo saseh of kedesha. And the Rambam has a very broad definition of kedesha. The Torah says, Otia kedesha mibnos Yisrael. And the concept of kedesha sounds like a woman who's immoral. She lives a life of a prostitute. But the Rambam has a totally different definition. The Rambam says, Halacha Dalid, Kodem Matan Torah, Haya Adam Pogea Isha Bishuk, Im Ratza Hu Vim Nose Laschara, U Boel Osa Al Eim Haderech, Vaholech Lo. So before Matan Torah, there was no Ishus, and if a man would have a relationship with a woman for the purpose of marriage, that would create marriage, even without a kinyan, without any of the three maisa kinyanim which require edim. However, if let's say he has a relationship with this woman without being at all interested in a marriage relationship, he's paying her for it, so then zuya nikres kedesha. Now again, Kedesha means that there's no Ishus, but the Rambam doesn't talk about any Isur Lav because it's before Matan Torah. So before Matan Torah, we don't have any Isur Lav. We may have Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but this is not one of them. Kedesha does not come under the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. What happens after the Torah was given? We said the Torah introduces the concept of Kenyan, and the Torah introduces the mitzvah sev l'kuche isha. Now the Torah is introducing a losasa. Mishenitna Torah, Nesra HaKedesha. Now again, who is this Kedesha? The Rambam doesn't say that she's a woman who designates herself as a Kedesha. You know, she has her own you know, publications, you know, and advertisements. I am a Kadesha, you know, pay me for having a relationship. That's not the case the Rambam is talking about. The Rambam is talking about Adam Pogea Isha Bishuk. You know, they're having a relationship without a framework of marriage. So the Rambam says that when the Torah says Lotia Kadesha Bibnos Yisrael, what's included under the violation of this law is called Boel Isha L'shem Znus, if he's having a relationship with her and she's not interested in anyone else, but he's not interested in marriage, he's only interested in Znus. Below Kiddushin, so there was no Kinyan Ishus with Kesef Shtara Bia, Loke Min HaTorah Mipnesha Baal Kidesha. The very fact that she submits herself to a Maisa Bia of Znus as opposed to Maisa Bia of Kiddushin, that itself makes that into a Bias Kidesha. And the Rambam goes on to say, Loke Min HaTorah. Since the Torah says, Lotia Kidesha Mibnos Yisrael, any violation of that law will incur Malkus Min HaTorah. We're not talking about Malkus Maridus here. We're talking about a violation of Malkus Min HaTorah
for him.
She too, as far as I can tell, she also will get Malkus. The Rambam doesn't spell that out here, but Loka Min HaTorah here, I think, according to Rambam, would refer to both him and her. Now, why are we learning this Rambam as we start the third parak of Masechta Ksubas? Our subject in the Mishnah in Ksubas is Knas. Elu Narashi Yeshlem Knas. Now let's assume for the time being that we're talking about a Bia which is not L'shem Kiddushin. And I think that's a pretty fair assumption, both in the case of Ma'anis for sure, but even in the case of Mafateh. So that's a bias nus. And the Torah says, and the Mishnah codifies it, that he has to pay a knas. We have a principle called eno loka umeshalem, that a person who's chayiv malkus does not pay. So if a maisa, the particular maisa avera, generates malkus, there's no payment. Yet, paradoxically, the Rambam says that kolabol isha l'shem znus is loka min haTorah. So presumably in the case of Mafata, and certainly how much more so in the case of Ma'anis, that's a case of L'shem Znus. He's not interested in marriage. And if that be the case, the Rambam says, Lokim in HaTorah. If it's Lokim in HaTorah, how can he possibly be chayev to pay the knas? We have a principle called Eino Loke Umeshalim. And that seems to be the Rambam Shita. Now we're going to soon see that the other Rishon, the Ravid at the, you know, at the forefront, are going to present a protest against this Rambam. They're going to reject this Rambam. How could it be that a Bia Shalo L'shem Kiddushin, but rather L'shem Znus, is a Bia that engenders Malkus, then Onus Mafateh should therefore be potur from paying knas, because we have a principle, ein adam loke umeshalem. That's going to be the issue to try to defend the shitas of Rambam. Now, those who disagree with the Rambam hold that when the Torah says lotia kidesha, it's not referring to a bias nus, it's referring to a bia with a kidesha. Who is a kidesha? So the sheet of the other Rishonim is that a Kadesha, we'll see in the Ravid, is Mufkeres Lakol. Now she's a professional Kadesha. In the case of Onus Mefatu, we're not talking about a Kadesha. There is no violation of the Yisolav Kadesha. Hence, there's no Malkus, there's only a Chiv Tashlumin. But the Rambam, who's expanded the definition of Kadesha and the Lav of Kadesha to include any Bia that's L'shem Znus, Shalom L'shem Kiddushin, how could it be that a Mefatu and an Onus, you pay a Knas? What happened to the principle of Ein Adam Loke Umeshalim? So you take a look on the right side of your page, you'll see the Asogas Arayvu. And Omar Avram, the first of the wide lines, he says, Ein Kedesha Ela Mizumenesi Umufkeres Lekol Adam. She's a professional woman. Aval Hamiyachedes Atzmolish Echod. We don't know that she has a relationship wantonly with any man that comes along. She had a relationship with this particular man. That's not a Kedesha. She's not a Kedesha. V'ein ba lo malkis v'lo isolav v'hi pilegesh haksuva. Now again, we're getting off a tangent here, but what is the definition of pilegesh? According to the Ravid, if she has a relationship with one man, they're not interested in marriage, but she's not mufkeres lakol, that makes her into a pilegesh. The Ravid assumes that on a Torah level, there is no Iser of Pilegesh. It's a woman who designates herself for a relationship with a man to the exclusion of any other men, even though it's not for the purpose of a Kinyan Ishus, she is a Pilegesh, and that's something that the Torah, at least, did not prohibit. Therefore, according to the Ravid, if she's not Mufkeres Lakol, but rather she's Miacheres Es Atzmo Le'ish Echon, and that Bia is a bia shalolashem kedushin, there's no Iser in that bia because she is a pilegesh. Brand new category called pilegesh. Again, I don't know if we're going to get into the whole sugya pilegesh, but let's just for the record point out that the Ravid holds that pilegesh muteres minator. Now the Ravid goes on and he says the following. Okay, we're going to skip the part of pilegesh. He says, She'im kidvarav, at the end of this long presentation, after trying to prove that a pilegesh is any woman who is designated for one man and she's not mufkeres lakol, she's not a kedesha, but rather she's a pilegesh, says the Ravid, Im kidvarav, if the Rambam would be correct, mefata heich mishalim aleha mamon, how can we force a mefata to pay a compensation package? He's not having be'ilah, presumably the shame issues, and therefore, according to the Rambam Shita, by definition, it becomes under a bias kedesha, and a bias kedesha is a lav d'oraisa, which generates malchus. Now, I don't know why the Ravid singles out mefata. I think he's saying that even in the case of Mefata, there's no interest here in Kiddushin. It's a pure Bias Nus, and therefore, according to the Rambam, a violation of the Lav of Kedesha. Certainly, how much more so, it's upgrade without even saying. It goes without saying that if it's a Ma'ani situation, there's no element of L'Shem Kiddushin. So maybe that's why the Ravid asks it on Mefata, not on Ma'ani. I don't know. But the bottom line is that according to the Rambam, we have no clue as to how to reconcile the halacha of payment of mamon in the case of mafata with the halacha of ein adam loka mishalim, because the Rambam Shita is that any bias shalol l'shem ishus is by definition a bias kedesha and it generates malchus, and we have a principle ein adam loka mishalim. Elavada, the conclusion of the Ravid is misha hutzracha lepitui ein a kedesha. The Ravid says a very interesting thing. If you're talking about a kedesha, then a kedesha is, that's her job. You know, she
doesn't need to be
seduced.
Over.
Correct. The very fact that the Torah talks about mefata means that she's not a kedesha. This is all against the Rambam, because the Rambam holds that a kedesha and a mefuta are both under the same law. Because even in the case of mefuta, since he doesn't have intention to marry this woman, then by definition she's a kedesha with an isa lav, and hence we don't know how to justify the chiyuv mamon. The Ravid on the other hand, she also holds that no, he had to be mafata. Apparently she's not a kedesha, she doesn't come under this lav, she's not including the lav of losia kedesha v'vinos Yisrael, hence there's no malchus. In fact, the Ravid goes out on a limb and he says there's no isa here on a Torah level, no violation of any isa whatsoever. Even though it's a bias nus, but the Torah didn't prohibit that. The Torah prohibited a bia with a kedesha. And if there's no if there's no marriage relationship, then the Rabban holds that's not a kedusha. She's not mufkeres lakol. Maybe call her pilegesh, if you will. Hence, there's a chiyuv mamon that the Torah imposed in the case of mafata. She's not a mufkeres lakol. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to work overtime to try to convince her to submit herself to this relationship. So that's not kedusha, but the Rambam holds that she is a kedusha. So what we want to study today is the Chassam Sofer. He's going to try to defend the Rambam Shita. We have a copy here of the Chassam Sofer if you need one. So we're on the bottom of the page. Okay, in the first two lines of this bottom paragraph, he quotes the Rambam and the Ravid. And then he quotes the Magid Mishnah. And the question is, in Cain, according to the Rambam Shita, Mefuta hech mishalim oleh mama. How could it be in the case of Mefuta that he pays a 50 kesef knas, and not only that, he also pays for other damages like boshes upagam? What happened to the principle of eino loke u'mishalim v'alo loke? Because according to the Rambam, this is a violation of the law of kedusha. Any bia that's outside of the framework of kinyan issues is by definition a violation of the law of kedusha. Now, another issue here, which I'm not even going to touch on, is about psul kahuna, because if the Rambam holds that panuya bala pnuya l'shem znus, she's considered, or shall we say, the bia itself is a bias malchus, it's a bias avera doraisa, why doesn't that generate a psul of kahuna?
In other words, for her to marry a kohen.
For her to marry a kohen, right. So again, that's a gigantic sugi which will come up in this parak of Yitzhak Hashem, but that's futuristic. V'nira Poshut. Now, the Chassam Sofer begins his own presentation. He says, the Rav HaMagid, Hami Motzi Lahakshos Kena Ones, Eich Loke Mishalim, Elevare Minuhutzach Lyonsei Nikadesha, Elim Kain Mufkeres. So the Chassam Sofer here adds the case of Ones, and he could have asked the same question from Ones: how could you be chayev to pay chamishim kesef in the case of Ones? We have a principle Eino Adam Loke Mishalim, and I added, well, that's upgraded. You know, he didn't have to point out Ones because if there's any havamina that the bia might be a bias issue, so it would only be in the case of mafata, which she had ratzon for the bia. It goes without saying that in the case of Ones, there is no Ratzon, so it cannot possibly be a candidate for Bias Kiddushin with a Kenyan issues, and hence, according to the Rambam, becomes a Bias Kiddesha with a Lav and Malkus. So how could she possibly generate a Chiyuv of Knas?
How could she be a Kiddesha in that case when she doesn't fit into that category of people that go around looking for relationships?
Oh, so that's exactly the point. Elim came b'mufkeres. We must assume, says the Ravid, and that's the Magid Mishnah is presenting the argument to the Ravid, that the only time there's a lav of kedeshus is when the woman is mufkeres. But obviously in the case of Onis and Mafate, she's not mufkeres. Why is he doing what he's doing? You know, why is he either convincing her to submit herself to this relationship, or why is he doing it against her will, right? Forcibly. It must be because she's not mufkeres lakol. If she's not mufkeres lakol, the Ravid argues, she's not included in the law of kedusha, and there is no malchus. But the Rambam Lishitoso says that every bia with a woman is called kedushus and a lav, unless it's a bia l'shem kedushin. This bia clearly is not l'shem kedushin. So just because, Lenny, you came in a little late, I just want to fill you in on the Ravid's argument against the Rambam. The Rambam holds that any bia which is not l'shem issues is a bias kedusha and a violation of losia kedusha v'nos yisrael, and it generates malchus. If that be the case, what's with the whole parasha of Onus and Mafata, which is the subject of our Mishnah at the beginning of the third parak of Ksubas, that you pay chamishim kesef, we have a rule, ein adam loke u'mishalim, that if you chayv malchus, you don't have to pay it. Here, you chayv malchus, according to the Rambam. Hence, the Ravid Shita, no. This is not a lot of kedesha. Kedesha only applies to a specific type of woman that fits into that category that you can describe as a woman who's mufkeres lakol. In the case of onus mefata, she's not mufkeres lakol. The Ravid goes even a step further. Maybe she has the status of a pilegesh. So the Chassam Sofer here, Hanir Linias Daiti, is the bottom of page 1. The Yishuv Zos HaKusha. So just by introduction to the Chassam Sofer, let's go back to the Rambam for one moment. And what we're going to do now is going to read the Rambam with the objection of the Ramban. When I mean the objection of the Ramban, I don't mean a logical objection, but rather a textual ha'ara. The Ramban doesn't understand the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says the Ramban uses a double language, which is unnecessary, superfluous. The Rambam says, "Kol aboel isha." Now listen to this: l'shem ishus. I'm sorry, l'shem znus. And then the Rambam says, "Below kiddushin." Well, why didn't the Rambam just say simply "below kiddushin"? Why do you have to say l'shem znus? Or if he had to say l'shem znus, why do you have to add shalom? You know, below kiddushin. I mean, znus by definition is without kiddushin. So there's a redundancy here in the Rambam. That's the Ramban's kasha. Now the Ramban wants to answer this kasha by saying that the Rambam wants to be mekel here. He adds another phrase as an adding another condition to generating the lav of kedusha. Did everybody follow what I just said? Just the method of the Ramban here, and then we'll see that some sof is unique. How should I say, a brand new revolutionary approach to the Rambam. But let's see the Ramban's approach to the Rambam. The Ramban's approach to the Rambam is that by adding extra words, the Ramban is limiting, he's imposing another condition to the violation of the law of Lotia Kedesha. And here's the Ramban's chiddush. If the Rambam would have sufficed with the words below Kedushin, then the impression you would get is that any bia with a woman without kedushin, without kesef or shtara bia, would come under this law. That would include even a case of a woman who without kedushin designates herself exclusively to this man. That's a pilegish. And the Rambam wants to exclude a pilegish. She's not included in this law. On the one hand, if the Rambam had only said below kedushin, then a pilegish, since she doesn't have kedushin, would be included under this law. The Rambam wants to tell you that pilegish, who, let's say, moves in with a fellow, and that's where she's going to be, and that's the only man that she's going to give herself to, but she doesn't have kedushin, such a woman, since there's no kedushin, would be included under the law of kedesha. Therefore, the Rambam adds another stipulation, another condition. It's got to be a be'ila l'shem znus, as opposed to pilegesh. Pilegesh, says the Ramban, again, the Ramban in interpreting the Rambam, is not a bias znus. And hence, there won't be a violation. If there was only if the only condition to generate the law would be shalom, Shaloba Kedushin, then if Pilegish doesn't have Kedushin, that would be included under the law. But since the Rambam adds another condition, it's got to be a Bi'al Hashem's Nus. So it's very interesting. In the case of Pilegish, you're in a middle category. On the one hand, it's not a Bi'al Hashem Kedushin because Pilegish doesn't have Kedushin. On the other hand, it's not a Bi'al Hashem's Nus because they're creating a permanent arrangement, if you follow my point. Not a permanent Kinyan with the Kedushin of Kesef Shtar Bi'al in front of two Eidim. All that not, but she is designated for him, and they're living together as husband and wife without kedushin. That's a pilegish, and now the Rambam feels compelled to add another condition. When do you violate lotia kedesha b'bnos? So that's only if it was shalol l'shem kedushin, but that's not enough. because even in the absence of Kiddushin, there's no guarantee that the Bia is a Bia's Nus. You can have a Bia which is Shalol L'Shem Kiddushin, outside of the frame of Kiddushin, but it's not a Bia's Nus. And in such a case, she has the status of a Pilegesh. So the Rambam now wants to Mechadesh that in that case, there is no violation of the law through this Bia of Lotei Kedesha, because this Bia is not a Bia L'Shem Nus.
Why don't you say L'Shem Nus?
Bia L'Shem Znus, you mean say.
Right. Without adding,
correct. So the Ramban is saying the following, that Shalol L'Shem Kiddushin, the Ramban has to add here, because that's the basic structure of a Kedesha. Why? Because the Ramban tells us that before the Torah was given, you weren't here when we went through it, before the Torah was given, there was no such thing as a Kinyan Ishus. Well, the Pogei Isha B'Shuk, Ratzahu, Ratzahi, and that was fine. The Torah was Mechadesh, a Kinyan, and the Rambam calls that Kiddushin. Oh. Now the Rambam wants to tell you, a Bia with a woman without Kiddushin, after the Torah was given, is called a Bias Kedesha, because that Bia is Shalom L'Shem Kiddushin. The Rambam now asks himself the following question, but what if it was Shalom L'Shem Kiddushin, but it was for the purpose of a permanent relationship, Mucheteslo, which is called Pilegesh. So the Rambam wants to add another condition. You don't violate the law of Kedesha until, on top of the absence of Kedushin, the Bia in a positive sense, if you follow me, a positive, negative sense, is a Bias Nus. So that's the Rambam adding another condition. But basically, any Bia Shalom L'Shem Kiddushin is missing the Rambam's, you know, what the Rambam says is the Chiddush that the Torah was Mechadish, that there's such a thing as Lekuchin. The Rambam classifies that as a Mitzvah Saseh. Let's take a look again in Halacha Beis. Ulekuchin Elu Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah. Now, the Rambam wants to say, in the absence of fulfilling this Mitzvah, have you violated a law? So the Rambam says that fundamentally you violated a law because you didn't fulfill this mitzvah. Says the Rambam, no, you didn't violate the law, because for the law there's another condition, and that is a Bia L'Shem Znus. Says the Rambam, the Nafkamina is going to be Pilegesh. Says the Chasam Sofer, can't be. The Rambam himself, and this is on the top of page 2, is of the opinion that hejot asur bepilegesh. Now let's understand what this is all about. There's a machlokes rishonim about the nature and the status of pilegesh in halach. Does the Torah validate a relationship with a pilegesh? Many rishonim say yes, and the Ramban and the Ravid are amongst them. And they'll quote the case of David HaMelech. David HaMelech married a Pilegesh, and there are many, many others in the Torah that had this quasi-marriage relationship called a Pilegesh relationship. The Rambam happens to disagree with all of those. The Rambam, strangely enough, again, this has to be understood, but the Rambam is not here in Hilchas Ishus. The Rambam happens to be located in Hilchas Melachim. And the Rambam says that the Torah was mati, the Torah permitted a Pilegesh to a Melech. What is the implication of the Rambam?
No.
Not to a Hejot, only to a Melech. There's a monarchical prerogative called Pilegesh, and the Torah licenses that relationship. Hence, David HaMelech had Pilagshim. But it's only for a Melech. The Rambam goes out of his way to point out that a Hejot is asur b'Pilegesh. The Mela, what's the violation? How wide is the scope of the violation of Lotia Kedesha Mibnos Yisrael? Well, if the Rambam is saying that a Pilegesh is Asura to anyone who's not a Melech, then he must be widening and broadening the definition and the scope of Lotia Kedesha, because there is no other candidate law. So the only law that you could probably violate, you could possibly violate with this Bia with the Pilegesh, and the Rambam says she's Asura in the case of a Hejot who's not a Melech, there's only one candidate, there's only one possibility, so that's Lotia Kedesha. So therefore, cannot be that when the Rambam holds L'Shem Znus, he's excluding the case of Kedesha, because the Rambam Lishitoso holds that a Kedesha includes, I'm sorry, I didn't say that right. You cannot say that when the Rambam says L'shem Znus, he's coming to exclude the case of Pilegesh, because the Rambam himself has the Shita that a Pilegesh is included in the love of Kedesha. Why? Because she doesn't have Kedushin. And any woman who doesn't have Kedushin is included in the love of Kedesha. Hence, the Chasam Sofer rejects the answer offered by the Ramban as to why the Rambam and what the Rambam means when he says L'shem is Nus. If you take a look for a moment in the Kesef Mishnah, he says the following. Again, it's a long Kesef Mishnah, but the part that we can focus on, he says, Vidashara Isi, in the wide lines on the left column of the page, the Kesef Mishnah column, you'll see approximately line 6. Let's count it down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He says, Vidash ra'isi la Ramban shekosu b'tshuva niskeres v'zeleshon. This is the language of the Ramban. Gam divrei Rambam enom lesar pilegesh lehejot ulatir lemelech. I would add a word bilvad, right? It's only an exclusive heter from melech. Elakach omar v'chol abol ish l'shem znus loke. Bishum shebal kedesh l'shem znus haynu shepogeba ubalav lo yichdali atzma yichdo in the mapike. He didn't designate her for himself. L'shem pilagshus dahaynu kedesha. In other words, since he didn't designate her as a pilegesh for himself exclusively, therefore she's a kedesha. Otherwise, v'lo omar, the Rambam should have said simply called bo below kedushin loke. And if you fast forward, he says, Yesh l'tmoa, heich hevir eino v'mashkosavnu, v'mashkosav, from what the Far Rambam says himself, havel hejot osur bipi legesh. And then he goes on to introduce girsos, maybe the Ramban had a different girsa than the Rambam. So, to make a long story short, the Kesef Mishnah emphasizes that a clear reading of the Rambam, not here in Ishus, but in Hilchos Malachim, it's explicit that the Iser of Pilegesh applies to a hejot. And therefore you can't tell me that that's not called a Bil Hashem Znus, and that's what the Rambam added here, and there's no violation of Kedesha, the law of Kedesha in the case of a Pilegesh. That's not so. Although the Torah was matir a Pilegesh to a Melech, but not to a hejot. Al kei nira anias daiti, says because I'm so fair, on the second line, I want to interpret this Rambam based on the Rivash. HaTorah Mairi Shepita L'Shem Kiddushin. Now here I would ask for you to employ your fine aid, your scholarship, if you could open up to Kiddushin Daf Mem Vav Hamid Aleph. And there we're going to see the sheet of Rav. Again, it's not clear that everybody accepts the sheet of Rav. Rav Asi, who, as you know, is a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, he doesn't seem to agree with Rav. But Rav is of the opinion that the Parsha of Mefateh is referring to a pitui l'shem kiddusha. Now, in a pitui l'shem kiddusha, you wonder exactly why the Torah imposed a knas.
She thinks it's for kiddusha.
Okay. Now, if this be the case, then that even if you hold the Rambam that any bia shalol l'shem ishus is by definition a violation of the law of Kedesha, dropping the Ramban, and therefore there should be a problem of Eino de Melokia Mishalim. However, that's not the case that the Torah is addressing in Mefateh. It was a Bi'al Hashem Kiddushin. And that reflects the sheet of Rav on Daf Mem Vav. And he writes that Hilchus HaKavase, that we actually accept the sheet of Rav, that the case of Pitu is Pitu L'Shem Kiddushim, L'Shem Ishus. And if that be the case, then he has to pay Chamishim Kesef without any power or din that would knock off that payment based on the violation of the law of Kedesha, because simply stated, if he has in mind through this pitui that he's going to marry her, that's not a bias Kedesha, but rather that's a bias l'shem issues. He says, "In Cain, now we can go back to the Rambam. Was zed dikdek a Rambam l'shem znus, v'lo l'shem kiddushin loke mishum kedesha? Why did he add the terminology l'shem znus? Lafuki amefate al menashi sa'ena al yedei pitu izu. If he had in mind that through this bia she would agree to marry him, that was his plan. That was his." His agenda, he was hoping that, because of the Chibas Bia, she would agree to marry him. Then, says the Rambam, that's not a Bia L'Shem Znus. Even though, at this particular moment, she hasn't yet agreed to marry him, but she agreed to submit herself to Bia. Hence, you have a situation where the Bia, from his perspective, is not a Bia L'Shem Znus. And it's very interesting. The Rambam could have said, Kolabol Isha L'Znus. No, he says l'shem znus, and the Chassam Sofer would be medayik from the lashon l'shem znus that this comes to exclude l'shem kedushin, even though technically the bia might not yet be a bias kedushin, but it's for the purpose of kedushin. The afal gav the acher kach main yemayin avia. Now she's a nara, and a nara is b'shus avia, so the father has veto power to decide whether he wants to accept or reject that condition, that proposal. And of course the father rejected that proposal. So there is no marriage relationship here, because she cannot marry herself off without the haskoma, without the rotz and the das of the father. He refused to accept that. Hence, the boel is now chayev to pay chamishim kesef. So now you might ask, well, once the father is mocha, what happens to that bia? How do you define that or classify that bia? It's an effective bias nus, right? Because it can't be a bias ishus because he doesn't agree, and without his consent, there's no marriage, no deal, and therefore it's a bias nus. Ah, says the Chassam Sofer, this is not a violation of losia kedesha. That's why the Rambam adds L'shem znus. Why? Kevan de tchilas pitui hoya l'shem kiddushin. Now we're entering into the psychology. This is what we call, I don't know if you've ever heard the word phenomenology. The phenomenology, the reality of his conscious mind is that this is a bia l'shem kiddushin, even though it's anything but that, because the father rejects this kiddushin and therefore becomes a bias nus. But from his perspective, the boel, in terms of his intention, motivation, and what he hopes to achieve, his interest is l'shem kiddushin. That's what the Rambam wanted to add here, l'shem znus, that it's only a lav of kedesha if he has no interest in marrying this woman. If his interest and his hope is that through this bia he will accomplish marriage, then in such a case, there's no violation of the law of Kedesha, because we're lacking the condition of Shalom L'Shem. No, I'm sorry. We're lacking the fulfillment of the condition of L'Shem Znus. He did not have a Bia L'Shem Znus. Ask yourself the question, well, is this Bia L'Shem Kedushin? Well, unfortunately, it cannot even serve as a potential for Kedushin, because the father is opposed to the Kedushin. There's no such thing as marrying herself off without his agreement. So it's not kiddushin. But on the other hand, is it a bias nus? Yeah, it may be a bias nus, but it's not a bia l'shem nus.
The father's acceptance or rejection comes before the bia or after the bia?
After the bia. He doesn't know what's going on. So somebody knocks on his door, and two Edom come into Bezdin and say, yeah, it's retroactive. Because her Kiddushin is contingent on his acceptance. So it's like any Bitul HaTnai, which is always L'mafreya. Anytime, for example, if I sell you this table, Al Menashe Yirtza Abba, let's say this, your John is playing the role of your father, John says, I don't want this. So then the sale was never valid. And therefore Mafreya, she doesn't have a Bias Kiddushin. She, from her perspective, it's a Bias Nus. But the Ram wants to be Mechadish Al Lashem's Nus, meaning what was his hope? What was his plan? And he thought that maybe this, you know, this kind of bia where she agrees to the bia, that would engender a kiddushin. Maybe he was also hoping that the father would give his consent. But lo and behold, he failed. So if he fails, the Torah says, you know what? You didn't bother calling up the father and asking if you could have his daughter's hand in marriage. You are included in the parasha of Mafata. Don't tell me that this Nara consented to have a relationship. That's irrelevant. You have to create a kiddushin, which means you have to get the father's haskama. You didn't achieve that, therefore it's a bias mafati, pay chamishim kesef. What about the violation of the law of kedusha, according to the Rambam? And the Rambam says, if there's no kiddushin, then by definition it's kedusha, and you get malchus for that. And now we have to ask the question, how can he pay when ain't on the loka mishan? The answer is the Rambam, it's another condition. And that is, what was his hope? What was his motivation and intention? This has nothing to do with the Ramban. The Ramban is saying that L'shem's Nus as opposed to Pilegish. That's a position that the Kesef Mishnah rejects, because the Rambam holds that Pilegish is included under the law of Kedushas, because he doesn't have any interest in Kedushin. The Torah says that now that we give the Torah, there's no such thing as a framework of a husband and wife without Kedushin. It's got to be Kedushin. And anything less than Kedushin is a violation of the law of Kedushas. So don't tell me that Pilegish is going to help you at all. That's a violation of the law of Kedushas. But, says the Sam Sofer, what would be in the following scenario? Where his hope is that she'll agree, and the father hopefully will agree, that this is the beginning of a marriage relationship. That's not L'shem's Nus. It is a Bia Shalom B'Kedushin, because the father's rejection makes it into such. But it's not enough for a violation of the Iser Kedushas, because it wasn't a Bia L'shem's Nus. Hence, he pays Chamishim Kesef. There's no Malchus. So what we're doing is we're underlining the words in the Chasam Sofer, Kevon D'Tchilas Pitui Hoysa L'shem Kedushin. Again, ask the question, did the Kedushin become validated? Did the Torah ever recognize these Kedushin? The answer is no. She cannot agree to a Kedushin without her father's consent.
If the father consented afterwards,
that would be enough.
It would be,
that's a Lomdash Sugya at the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin. Trying to remember what daf it is. I think it's like Mem Aleph, wherever it is in Kedushin. Now, you remember we spoke about the case of Mafata, and Rav Shita was that the case of Mafata was that his goal, this Boel, this Mafata, was to get her and then subsequently her father's consent for Kedusha. And then it works out very beautifully that according to the Rambam, since it wasn't a Bial Hashem's Nus, therefore there's no violation of Kedusha, and it comes under the parasha of Mafata. But Rav's Shita there in Kedusha was rejected by Rav Asi. Yossi, can you find Rav Asi on that page?
Yes.
And what does Rav Asi say?
Rav Asi Omar Abiha Velohi.
That's something else. Is that the only time Rav Asi is quoted there? Because there should be something about Mafata. So if you don't mind, as you're looking, I'm just going to read the punchline here in the language of the Chasam Sofer. He says, "Vehine lefize Rav Asi bekedushin memvav." This really the kra, meaning the parsha of Mafata, lo mayri befitui l'shem kedushin. Rav Asi did not buy into the shita of Rav that the whole parsha of Pitui is shalom l'shem kedushin. Isvile namika harambam. Okay, this is a theoretical construct. Let's suggest a possibility, which is certainly a logical possibility, that the Rambam would we press for, that Rav Asi also agrees that there's no, that that if the Bia, even if she's not Mufkeres Lakol, was Shelo L'Shem Kiddushin, then it's a violation and a Chiyuv Malkus for Losia Kedesha B'Bnos Yisrael. So now the Parsha Pitui is not a Pitui L'Shem Kiddushin, therefore so facto becomes a Pitui of a violation of the law of Kedesha, hence a Chiyuv Malkus. How then, if we hold like the Rambam Shita, can Rav Asi say that you, or sustain the Parsha of Mefata, where the Torah says that in the case of Mefata he has to pay damages? Tzorech Lomar, says the Chassam Sofer, the Muki Kra below Asri Bela Malkus. Oh wow, this is what I call a technical, you know, a technical answer. You know, if you're looking for a mechanical answer, this is it. That the whole parsha of Mefata is talking about someone who violates the law of Kedesha, because the Rambam holds you don't need a Mufkeres Lakol to violate the law of Kedesha. And this Boel, who is Mefata, okay, he's very good at sweet-talking her, but he has no intention whatsoever of marrying this woman, so he gets a knas. Ah, what about Malkus for Kedesha? There's a technicality. The Mishnah is talking about a case where there was no Asra. So when you violate a law in front of two Eidim, if they don't give you Asra, you're not going to get Malkus. And that's exactly the scenario of Mefata. Hence, he has to pay the knas.
But his P2E is without Asra also.
I'm just saying that, you know, you can't give him Malkus in the case of Pitu, because there was no one who gave him Asra to say to him, you're going to get Malkus for this Maisa Bia, and hence he'll get 50 Knas. The Knas itself is not dependent upon Asra. The Knas is a result of the Eid.
Right.
Yeah. Only in Chiyuve Onche Aguf do we have a Tanai of Asra. For example, Mises Bezdin or Malkus, then you need a Hasra. But if it's a Chiv Mamon that's imposed as a Knas, a penalty by Bezdin, then we don't care whether you had Hasra or not. But now we have to introduce another element into the equation, and that's the Shita of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is of the opinion, which is going to come up in the Sugya here at the beginning of Elul Naris, that there's something called Chayve Malkiel Shogigin. So what's Chayve Malkiel Shogigin? That's a case where he violated a law. He should get Malkus. He won't get Malkus because he was a Shogig. But since the Maisa Aver itself, in abstract terms, conceptually, would generate Malkus, then he doesn't have to pay any damage. And this is a reflection of a famous machlokus about Chizkiah, which is called Chayve Misa Shogigin. In a person who killed someone b'shogeg, whether he pays damages. And Reish Lakish applies that same principle that he's potter from damages and any monetary payment to the case of Malkiels. So here's a case where, according to Rav Asi, the Parsha Mefata is talking about a case of Shelo L'Shem Kiddushin. According to the Rambam, he therefore violates the law of what? Of Kiddushin. But since there was no Asra, hence there's no Malkus, and that's what he pays, well, that's not going to work out according to Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, it doesn't matter whether you get Malkus or you don't get Malkus. You don't pay money because you violated a law that would generate Malkus. And that's called shogigin. For example, the Gemara says in Makis, lo nitna hasra el lahavchin ve shogig lemezin. In other words, the premise is that if a Jew who's he's an upstanding citizen and he's a righteous Jew with a cheskes kashrus, if he violates a law, we assume he did it b'shogig. Whether b'shogig means he didn't know the reality, or b'shogig he wasn't aware of the law. Only when you have hasra do you know he's amazing. Mm-hmm. So in our case, where we try to reconcile the Rambam with this sheet of Rav Asi in the sugya of Mefata, and therefore we said that there was no Asra, even though indeed he violates the law of Kedesha, would that be enough, the absence of Asra and the absence of Malkus, to impose upon him a Chiyuv Knas? And the answer is that depends on Reish Lakish and those who reject Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, even if there was no Asra, and he's called him a shogeg, if you will. Nevertheless, he can't impose damages on him to pay mamon because of chayve malkios shogeg. So we're really in trouble at this point. But again, you know, we're lining up a whole bunch of dominoes. You know, a list of different shitos. If we accept all those shitos, then we're in trouble. We're gonna hit up against a brick wall. What are the shitas that we want to accept? Number one, we're accepting the Rambam shita that any bias shelo l'shem kedushin is a bias kedusha with an isur lav and a chiyuv malchus, even if she's not a mufkeres lakol. Number two, we're explaining according to Rav Asi that the parsha of Mefata is addressing a case where he wasn't in the least interested in Kiddushin. That wasn't his ploy. He was purely a znus type of guy. That's all he wanted, his own pleasure. Add to that the premise that there was no malchus here for Lotia Kiddushin, therefore there was no asra for Lotia Kiddushin, therefore hence there's no malchus. But now if you introduce the sheet of Resh Lakish, you're in trouble. Why? Because Resh Lakish holds that even Chayve Shogigim, Chayve Malkish Shogigim, are Potur Minat Hashlumin, and we apply the Kimlev, the Rabinei principle. Okay, let's...
There's a little something here.
Oh, good. You found something about Rav Asi there?
Yes. Eitve Rafun Le Rav Asi, the Amri La, Piyabarav Le Rav Asi. Ima Ein Yima Ein Aviha, Ein Li Ela Aviha, Yatzma minayin, Talmud Lomar im ma'en yima'en mikol makom. Amar lehu Rav, lo tizlu batar ibcha, yachol lish nuye lechu kagon shepital shelo l'shem ishut.
Oh, that's the line.
Pital shelo l'shem ishut, krabai, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, lamar shemashalem knas kemefutah.
Okay, so we don't need all of that right now, but that was the key line that you mentioned, Shelo L'shem Kiddushin, correct?
And L'shem Ishut.
Is it Shelo L'shem Ishut? That's the way Rav Asi interpreted the sugya of Mefata, Shelo L'shem Ishus. Now let's just add another issue here. Again, an independent of the first issue, and that's on the bottom of page 2, Alam Emzeres. Now, when the Torah says you're not allowed to marry a certain woman, let's say a Mamzeres, for example, at what point do you violate the law? Here are the two possibilities. One possibility is Be'ilah. If he has a relationship of Be'ilah with a Mamzeres, the Torah says, Mamzeres lo tova b'kal Hashem, any bia itself is a violation of the law. The other opinion is that name. It's not enough that you had bia, but on top of that, you had kiddushin. The Torah says, you're not allowed to marry this woman. Example of Mamzeres. He went ahead and he married her, and then he had bi'ilah with her. The marriage itself is prohibited, because the Torah says, lo yova b'kal Hashem. But there's another condition. He has to consummate the marriage. When he does both A and B, the marriage and the consummation, he gets malchus. So the Rambam Shita is, as you'll see here, four lines below the end of the page, the b'chol psulei kol, whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to marry a certain woman, eino loke, you didn't violate the lav, elam kein kidesh ubal. He tried to marry this woman, and he even consummated the marriage with Be'ilah. In such a case, he violates the law of Lo Yavo Bekal. Because what does Lo Yavo mean? It means a Be'ilah Bekal. Bekal means Ayyidei Kiddushin. Do you see how we're interpreting these two words? The Torah says Lo Yavo Bekal. Lo Yavo is a reference to the Kiddushin. And the Torah joins him for being Mekadesh this woman. She's Psula. And what did I say? Did I say Lo Yavo? I meant to say Kahal. Well, let us go over one more. I think I may have. Like, there's Lo Yavo and there's Bekahal. Lo Yavo is the lashon of Be'ila, and Kahal is a lashon of Kiddushin. Lo Yavo B'kol means she should not enter into the Kahal through marriage. So if a man marries a Mamzeres, he'll violate the law of Lo Yavo B'kol after Be'ila. But it's got to be love of a cult to take her into marriage. So when do you get Malkus for having a relationship with a psula? That's only if A plus B. It was Kiddushin and then Be'il. Ayin Rama Perktes Vav Mi Isure Bia, which I think I have in this, it's in the next volume. But I don't want to bother you, John. You can get it quickly? If it's not. Okay. So this is in Perek Tes Vav Mi Isure Bia. Now, are you familiar with the history of Chachmei Leniel, which I think is in France? And the Chachmei Leniel always had a deliberation with the Rambam, back and forth. And that's very often quoted in the Kesef Mishnah. He'll tell you what the Chachmei Leniel, how they dealt with the Rambam, objected to the Rambam. So this is another case of the Chachmei Leniel. Because Kasha Mamzeres, the Gemara is going to say, E Rav Yitzchak Kasha Mamzeres. Because Rav Yitzchak is going to say there's no possibility of a Knas in a case where he violates an Isur Bia with a woman that he cannot marry. So the Gemara says that our Mishnah seems to contradict Rav Yitzchak, because Rav Yitzchak holds you don't impose the Chiyuv Knas if he had a relationship with a woman, like in this case of Amzeres, whose Bia would be a Bias Isur. So the Chasam Sofer says, in the name of the Chachmei Leniel, according to the Rambam, you only violate this Isur of Lo Yavo B'kol when there's A, Bia, but B, there has to be Kiddushin. Now, our case, again, let's assume like Ravasi, but even according to Rav, even if he had in mind that he would convince her to have Kiddushin, but in this case, the father rejected it. So there's no Kiddushin here. And if there's no Kiddushin, then the Gemara's objection against Rav Yitzchak, that how can he pay a knas if he violates the law of Mamzeres? But the answer is, he's not violating the law of Mamzeres according to the Rambam, because the precondition to violate the law of Mamzeres is that he was Makadisha. Our case of Mafat is where he had Be'ilo without Kiddushin. Yeah, and again, as I pointed out, that's not only true according to Rav Asi, who says Shalom L'Shem Kiddushin, even according to Rav, who says that he had a vested interest here, or a scheme and a plan that he would convince her to marry him. But he never succeeded in generating a Kiddushin. And therefore, if he didn't succeed in generating Kiddushin, there's no violation of this law of Lo Yavo B'kol Hashem in the case of Mamzer. So why is the Gemara objecting to Rabbi Yitzchak based on the fact that this Be'ilah with a Psula is a Bias Iser? Well, it's not a Bias Iser unless it came subsequent to a nicer Kiddushin. Vehine lefima shekasavnu liel lo kashamidi aram nesuri lecholabol shelo l'shem kiddushin loke mishum kideisha el shehalesi deonis umafate hu boel l'shem kiddushin. Right, his interest is l'shem kiddushin, like the sheet of Rav that we said before. Becholze beisha ruuyalo, ach b'ma'anis u'mafat mamzer she'ino ruuyalo havile kidsha velokem havile kideisha velokem mishum kideisha. V'shapir ka'omar I Rabbi Yitzchak kasha mamzeres. Okay, so B'li Neder, we're gonna pick up this some sofer tomorrow. I want to talk to you here about a sefer that I found, which is called the Mishkanos HaRoim, and I'm pretty sure it's written by a contemporary. I found it in, it's sort of like in a dusty, one of my dusty closets, so it does have a bit of a smell. I'm sorry for that. And it is an anthology that was organized by Shlomo Karvitz. Can't tell you much about him because I never heard his name. But as Hashgacha would have it, I have the safe in my library. I'm never able to find anything in my library. I don't know, it's a whole balagan. I have to really catalog my library. So he claims that there are four shitos with regard to the word nesina. You may recall that we spoke about a machlokes shin Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, but little did we know that there's another two shitas about what nesina is. Right, so the Mishnah says, hold on to this for a minute, Elu naris sheyesh lehem knas, and the Mishnah says, Haba al hamamzeres vi al hanesina. So who is this nesina? So first, let's take a look at Rashi, if you can. Do you have a copy of this, if you need it? And the Rashi, Messina, is about six lines down for the top, 2, 4, 7 lines down for the top. And what you want to underline in that Rashi, and again, if you're underlining in a photocopy, then that's okay, right? And Rashi says, you see those words, Vehi asur lekal de David gazer alei. So the basic isur of marrying a nesina is only a gzera of David HaMelech. It's not doraisa. So spend a minute or two, if you can, looking at this Rashi. And while you're doing that, it'll give me a minute. Don't pay any attention to me. I want to just read over that last line in the Sam Sofer just to make sure I understood it. It says, "Lefima shekosli elo kashim the rabam svile vechol aboyel shelo l'shem kedushin lo kemishim kedesha shelo l'shem kedushin mishim kedesha." So even though the rabam holds that your only chayef lo yovo is only if he had in mind the same kedushin, but here he gets malchus for the love of kedusha, even without kedusha, lo l'shem kedushin. So we're going to tell me you don't violate the love of lo yavo, but nevertheless you're going to violate the love of kedusha. So therefore, this question falls apart. Irav Yitzakashim Amzeres. Irav Yitzakashim Amzeres. So what are you going to tell me? No, that there is no violation of the love of Mamzeres without Kiddushin. But nevertheless, there's going to be a violation of the love of Kiddesha. Why is that? Because it's a bia shalom l'shem kedusha. Do we have a copy of the Gemara Ksubas on the page? On the table, I mean? Or we just have this photocopy?
Yeah.
We have kedusha, just kedusha. Okay.
I can get one.
Well, what? One second. If the. Should I try to figure out? Do you mind maybe getting a kedushin here? I thought I brought one in before, but I don't see it now.
Exubus? Unless it's this.
Kedushin.
We have kedushin, we have Sanhedrin, and then we have a photocopy of the first page of the Elul Naris. But I wanted to see Daf Chavtes Amid Beis. This is Chavtes Amid Aleph. Let's see what we can. If we could possibly look that up, it might shed a light on this last Chasam Sofer. If not, we can just move on to the discussion about Nesina. Thank you so much, Chavtes Amid Beis. Let me just see if I have this here. Let's see. No, this is not the right sugya. I thought this was the sugya of Yitzchak. Just one second. See, the one chisor in the Chasam Sofer that we have is I don't have the original printing of the Chasam Sofer, I just pulled this out. It doesn't tell you Mar Makomos. It'll just quote sugyas without telling you exactly where they are. So that's what I'm not finding now. Alright, so Blue Netter will have to get to this when we get to it. Let me just give it one more minute and then I'll give it up. This is the drushes. Then we have Rav Shimon ben Menashe, Rav Shimon HaTimani. Where is the sugya here of Rav Yitzchak? I have a feeling it's later on in the perek. Let me just see, maybe it's the sugya of Daf Lamed Vav. Just missing that one Mar Mokum, and I can't seem to find it at this point. Right, I don't want to belabor this. It's probably right in front of my eyes, but I don't see it right now. The Sugya of Ula. It should be here somewhere. Sorry. So he says the following. Number one. The Isur Nesina Lova Bekol Matzinu Arba Shitas Berishonim. Number one, Shitas Rashi. The Nesina Asura Lakohol. Says Rashi, the David Gozar Alehem. The Chen Kosev Rashi. Be Yavomis Daf Ein Chesamid Beis. David Gozar Alehem, Kirichsiv, Vagiv Onim, Lo Mibnei Yisrael Hei Maklomar, Enam Reuyim Lova Bekol. Right, you're not allowed to marry a Shivcha, or a Bas Yisrael is not allowed to marry an Eved. David Melch made a Gzera, and he gave him a whammy, so to speak, and they have the status of an Eved or a Shivcha. So according to Rashi, the whole deal of Nesina is all Drabana. And it's a Gzeir of David Amal. Now, Kosva Tosus Bisugyan, right, that's this long Tosus, Dibra Maskil, Elu Naris Habala Nesina, and he says Bisugyan the Yavamastaf Ayin Tes, you'll find the same Tosus. The Rashi Svile de Minat Torah Eina Nesinim Asurim Me'achar Shenis Gairu. Now, Rashi holds that the Givonim underwent Gairus and it's a valid Gairus. So, therefore, there's no Iser Chitun on a Doraisa level with a Nesina because it's after Gairus. Verak Mishum Gzeras David Nesru. Then he writes, V'chein hi shitas ha-Rambam. Now we have a Rambam Yisurei Bia. Would you mind opening up to Perek Yud Beis? Halacha Chav Beis and Chav Gimel. I'm going to read to you from what he says. You tell me if it says the same thing in the Rambam. I see you're a Yemenite. Okay. Mishan is Gayer Mishiva Amamim. Einon Asurim in HaTorah.
Which halacha?
It's halacha beis / chav gimel in Perkid beis. I meant to say Perk Yud Beis.
Yud Beis, Kaf Beis.
Kaf Beis, right. Mishin is Gary Mishiva Amim Eina Nasur Mina Torah Lava Bekol Vadova Yadua Shalon is Gairu Mehen Ela Givonim. So once again, according to the Rambam, the Halacha validates and recognizes the Gairus of the Givonim. And then the Rambam says, Yoshua Gozer Aleihem. And it was a double gzera. It started with Yoshua, and then David took it one step further. David, according to the Rambam sheet, which again we have to work out all the kinks here. Why is this so? But Yoshua, Gozer Aleihem Lava Bakol, calls Mancha Migdash Kayam. Yoshua, for some reason, didn't give it an endless decree. He put a proviso in it. As long as the Migdash, after the Migdash period, we'll reevaluate. But David, because all Ibsalai Kansul Koli, all of our field is Mancha Eina Migdash. Yeah? We have such a Rama?
Yes.
All right.
The Ola, my field is Mancha Eina Migdash.
Shein Migdash, right? So again, both Rashi and the Rambam agree that Nesina is only Durabonon. And it's part of the Gzera of David. David gave them the status of Avodim, of Shvachos, and therefore it's an Issa Durabonon of Bias Shivcha, Bias Evet. Rabbeinu Tam here, and we saw it on the fourth of the wide line. The third of the wide line, Venir le Rabbeinu Tam de Nesina Asura Midoraisa Mishum Lo Tischaten. Now it's basically the status of Nesina is equal to one of the Sheva Amamim about which the Torah says Lo Tischaten Bam. And this is based on the Maskana of a Sugya in Yevamos Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph of Rava, that this lav of Lo Tischaten Bam was said big gerusam. Interesting, big gerusam.
So they're gerei areyot?
No, on the contrary, he's saying that. Just 1 second. Just 1 second. The lav zet nemen big gerusam. In other words, what he's saying is that this lav of the Torah Lo Tischaten Bam applies when you could have kiddushin, and the Torah prohibits it. I will be giyusam before they undergo gerus less lechasnus. It's not that the Torah prohibits Lo Tischaten Bam. The Torah just says you can't marry a woman from another faith. There's no validity to that marriage. Here the Torah is saying that there's validity to the marriage, but you're enjoined from marrying this woman. According to Rabbeinu Tam, that's an Issa Doraisa of Lo Tischaten Bam, because you could marry them.
You could.
The woman lends... What?
Kedushin
would be Chal. How can this be chal if there's no gerus? So the answer is, if there's no gerus, then we don't need the lava of tischate, but to create a marriage relation with a woman.
We knew that.
Yeah, the Torah doesn't recognize that marriage relation. But rather, we're talking about a Nesina who underwent gerus, and the Torah nevertheless says that despite that gerus, you're not allowed to marry them. I mean, you're beginning to see here, which I think he's going to develop a little bit later, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, there are like two dimensions of gerus. One dimension of gerus is to make a non-Jew, she kanis lichlala mitzvahs, the old Torah mitzvahs that you become obligated in tariag mitzvahs. But there's another element of gerus which allows you to enter into the kahal. And as far as that element, it's lacking in the case of Nesina. Hence, the lav of Lo Tischaten Bam applies to a Nesina according to Rabbeinu Tam. On a Doraisa level, again. On a Doraisa level. So Rashi holds the Geirus is valid, and therefore there's no Isur lav of Lo Tischaten Bam. Narvas. David whammed, you know, gave him a whammy, and he is superimposed upon them a as a result of Gzeir Darabonan, the status of a shivcha, of an eved or a shivcha. Mm-hmm. Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, assumes that despite the fact that the gerus is a valid gerus, nevertheless, that's only as far as mitzvahs are concerned, but as far as allowing this person to enter into the kahal, the Torah says, lo tischate bam. So that even though it's shaychus to have chasnus with them, nevertheless, the Torah imposes an isur lav of lo tischate bam. Fine. Now, David gazar aleihem shibud. Now it makes sense that David added a gzera here, because you'll ask me, well, if there's a lavalo tischatin bom, it means they're basically non-Jews, and the Torah doesn't recognize their gerus, and if he can't marry them, so why did I need David Amelach? The answer is no. On a doraisa level, I'm not allowed to marry them, even though they are gerim. Because the Torah says, these gerim you can't marry. Now, David Amelach adds to boot a categorization of, or a chal shem of shibud, that they have to be slaves. What did he gain by that? This gave teeth to what is already prohibited by the rice of lo tischatin bam, because no one's going to want to marry a woman who has the status of a shivcha. Mm-hmm.
Then what is the point of this gerus? What does it mean?
The gerus generates a chiyuv of mitzvahs, and the Torah recognizes that as gerus, the separate law of lo tischatin bam.
And if it's lo tischatin bam, then there's no point in the gerus, in the mitzvahs. You're not in.
You mean who would they marry?
Yeah,
well, yeah. They'll have to marry a mamzeres, or maybe a chirchuri, or maybe they'll have to marry amongst themselves. You know, one nesin will have to marry one givoni, will marry givonis.
Right.
You know, there'll be a limited pool for their shidduchim. Mm-hmm. But as far as the gerus per se is concerned, it seems like Rabbeinu Tam, like Rashi, recognizes the gerus, but there's still an isa doraisa even after the gerus of lo tischatin bam.
This is disgusting.
It's really interesting that the Torah could recognize gerus and still say they can't get married.
This is discussed somewhere. Natin l'natina, mamzera l'mamzera. Isn't that some?
Yeah, it's a Mishnah Beilu Yuchsin. And Asar Yuchsin. Do you want to open up? I think you have the Gemara Kedushin in front of you.
Yeah.
See if you can find it. So look for a pair called Asar Yuchsin. But in any event, again, now we have two shitas. Now we get to the third sheet. The shita shlishis is the Ramban and the Rashba, and this is also in Yevamis Taf Ayin Ches. So all the sugis in Yevamis start with Ayin Ches, and they go. Actually, they start already with Ayin Vav, and then they continue on Ayin Ches. Shalo Asra Torah Bigerusam Ela Lager Rishon. So the Ramban and many others, they differentiate between the first generation of Gerim and their offspring. The first generation of Gerim, the Torah says, Osir, you're not allowed to marry them. Avalzaro shenolad bikedusha. So let's say, for example, you have two Nisinim, a male and a female, they got married to each other after Gerus. Their child, in the next generation, is allowed to marry into the Jewish fold. The Torah only prohibits them after their Gerus on the first round.
First generation, right.
First generation, correct. Mm-hmm. Amalzaro, Shenolad Sherei Lonemar, Bohem, Doros. This is interesting. Right, the Torah goes out of its way to say that, let's say, for example, the Mitzri Vadomi or something like that, that even after they gave us, you can't marry them until four generations pass, or whatever it might be. Here, this whole discussion about Lidoros doesn't appear in the Torah. And also, it doesn't say ad olam. Right? It doesn't say how many doros, or in some cases it would, the Torah wants to indicate ad olam. Mm-hmm. Right? So for example, a mamzer mazers would be the Torah says ad olam. Yeah. Or for example, Amon Umoav, the Torah says ad olam. But as far as a the case of the Zayin Amamin, the case of the Givonim, here the Torah says you cannot marry them after their Gerus, only for that generation itself. Lotus Chatein Bam.
Bam is a limited Bam. Mm-hmm.
First generation. Now, David comes along. And David's Gazar Aleihem Iser Olam, that all the offspring through the generations of the Givonim are not allowed to marry into the Jewish fold. That's a gzera of David HaMelech. Ubechol makom sheshanin nesinim yesh b'mashma ger echad min ha'umos halolu shenizgayer. In other words, we're talking about the first generation of nesinim. Mm-hmm. Their gerus would generate an Isur Lava Lotus Chatein Bam, but the next generation, they're allowed to marry into the Jewish fold. Ulefichach Manum Bechlal Psui Kol Shel Torah. It makes absolute sense now, according to the Ramban and see also, that the Mishnah would include the case of Nesina as a Doraisa, as an Isa Doraisa. Why? Because even though they were Gerim, nevertheless, the Torah says they're not allowed to enter into the people for that first original generation. So the real Makoy Nesina are also to marry a Jewish woman, Minat Torah. Lefichach Manum Bechlal Psui Kol Shel Torah. So it's very important that we emphasize here that according to the Ramban, we're dealing with an Isur Doraisa. Rashi, on the other hand, said we were dealing with an Isur Derabana. And Rabbeinu Tam seems to assume that the Isur of Lotus Chatein Bam applies to the Sinim forever and ever. No matter which generation. The Rabbeinu Tam is not willing to accept the Ramban, who limits this Isur of, like at Loyoma Bakal, kind of an Isur to the first generation. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it includes all generations. So we have now three Shitas. Pulineder, tomorrow we'll get to the fourth Shita, which is the most complicated Shita of them all, and that's Rabbeinu Avram ben David, the Ravid Shita. Okay, man? Yeah, for the 11:45 Shir, but that's the Ian Shir. The Bekiah Shir I do in at an early hour in the Shtiblok. That's at 7:30, if you have around. You know, if you're diving in like a 7 o'clock meeting in the Shtiblok, then you can join me upstairs. And then we're doing Ksuvos on a more Gemara Rashi Vitosus pace.
Is it from the side entrance on the second floor?
Yeah, side entrance, and you go up one flight.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's two flights, actually.
And that's 7:30.
If that happens to work out with your schedule, you can come once a week, or five times a week, or half a time a week. We don't sign you up with an attendance sheet.